There's a lot of focus in our world these days on mentorship. Having a mentor above you who's teaching you and giving you certain skills and knowledge, and then you receive that, and then ideally, you give that on to someone else in the future. That's how it always should work. A mentor gives to his mentee, and then he or she, they really learned it, if they really incorporated it into their life, then they pass it on to someone else. This is really popular, even in the corporate world. We want to look at people above us and ask for help. Ask, teach me what you know. Train me to do what you do, so that what you do and what you know doesn't die with you. That's the whole concept. I receive from someone so that I can give it on to someone else. I've had a lot of men and women in my life who have invested in me, who have poured into me. When I was an elementary school student and through the scouting movement and my different education, then, of course, coming in and being a missionary, I was formed so well by those above me, and walking with me, teaching me, training me. And then into seminary, so many priests and professors who invested in me, they've poured out a lot. And if I want to honor that, then I have to pass it on. I have to pay it forward. Otherwise, everything they stood for and taught and were good at, it dies with me. So I want to pass it on. I don't want it to stop here. And of course, this is so true in the practice of our faith. The unbroken tradition we have in our faith of 2,000 years of Jesus investing in his apostles, in his disciples, teaching them, training them, on the job training, when he was healing, they were right there. When he was preaching, they were right at his side. And then he trusted them to pass it on, to do some of the same things he did, and he even promised them, even greater things you'll do because of my lasting presence with you. And we have a beautiful picture of this in our second reading today of St. Paul. St. Paul, one of the apostles, but not one of the 12 apostles who knew Jesus and walked with him during his earthly life. St. Paul presumably didn't meet Jesus until he had already risen from the dead. But St. Paul was formed after that conversion when he was blinded and met Jesus on the road to Damascus and then spent time with that early Christian community. He had a mentor. He had others who invested in him, taught him the faith so that he would pass it on. And he talks about that to the Corinthians today, saying, "Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you. What I've received, I want to pass it on to you." What was that most important thing Paul wanted to pass on that he had received from the Lord? He spells it out word by word. Words that I pronounce at every Mass. That the Lord Jesus, when he had given thanks on the night he was handed over, took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." He spells it out, word by word, what Jesus said. And then the Christian community that he formed received that word and received that instruction as if they had received it from Jesus himself. And they passed it on. And St. Paul's letter to them was recorded and passed on from little church to little church and became incorporated into the canon of sacred scripture. And we read it in our churches today as an instruction of what Jesus told us to do in memory of him, to lift up bread, to lift up wine, and to feed his flock. It's the great tradition of the church, the Holy Eucharist, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ that we celebrate today and that we receive in this Holy Mass. It's come to us from Jesus himself, passed on to the apostles, the disciples, St. Paul, all those who would follow them, generation after generation. And we can't let it stop with us. This is the great responsibility it is to be a Christian, that we have to train those after us. We always have to pass on these truths, these teachings, this life that we've received. It's like telling someone a story. We don't want the story to die. Think of all the literature ever written, all filling those libraries throughout the world. We want to pass those on so that the beautiful truths that they communicate are continuing throughout history. Now, one of my favorite authors of the 20th century is J.R.R. Tolkien. You probably know him. He wrote the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I see guys' heads shaking. Oh yeah, we know Tolkien. You know the books, you know the movies, The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings. A great, great writer of literature. But he had a really interesting story of his own life. He wrote beautiful stories that were influenced by his story. His story was pretty tragic, actually. He was born to two parents in South Africa right before the dawn of the 20th century, born in 1892. 3 years after his birth, his dad dies of rheumatic fever. So he and his mother moved to England, which is where we know him to be from. Then, just a few years later, when Tolkien was 12, his mother dies of diabetes. You know, insulin hadn't been discovered at that point, a disease that's very treatable and livable today would take your life very early then. She died in her 30s. So at the age of 12, Tolkien was orphaned, no parents. Then comes World War I. Tolkien fights for England in World War I, survives that right on the front lines. Then he survives a pandemic, the Spanish flu. He makes it his way through the Spanish flu. It doesn't stop there. Then in the 30s, we hit the Great Depression. They call it the Great Slump in England. I like the sound of that, actually. The English, and Tolkien included, have a great way with words. He survived the Great Slump. Then comes World War II. He doesn't fight on the front lines during this one, but he helps, and he sends two of his sons to fight. He makes it his way all through this darkness, all through this tragedy. I can't help but think that it colored his literature, those battle scenes in The Lord of the Rings and in The Hobbit, probably taken from battlefields that he saw up close. He probably saw human suffering unlike anything we've ever seen. But he also saw goodness. He also saw light, light coming through the darkness. And this light was actually his Catholic faith. Many might not even know that he was a Catholic. There was a movie that came out about him just a few years ago. It doesn't even touch on his faith that animated his entire being. Kind of a loss that that didn't come out in the movie at all. It'd be like doing a movie about Elvis Presley, you know, coming out this summer and not even mentioning he loved rock and roll. Tolkien was a Catholic. Tolkien was a disciple of Jesus. And this light, this truth, gave him strength. It gave him courage in the midst of all the tragedy he witnessed. And as a mentor, he mentored his own sons. He wrote literature that the whole world would read, but he also wrote letters that his sons would read. And these were some of the words of his letters to his sons, speaking about his faith. He wrote to one of his sons, "Out of the darkness of my life, so much frustrated, I put before you the one great thing to love on earth." What's that one great thing? In all the tragedy and all the suffering you endured, what is it that I want to love? The Blessed Sacrament. That's what he wrote to his son. "Of all the darkness, so much frustrated, I put before you the one great thing to love on earth, the Blessed Sacrament. There you will find romance, glory, honor, fidelity, and the true way of all your loves on earth." Tolkien loved our Lord. He loved the Eucharist, the same Eucharist we celebrate here day after day, that we celebrate in this great solemnity that we will receive into our own flesh. Tolkien said, "Sons, this is the one great love on earth." And then he gave them some instructions of how to receive the Eucharist. He said, "The only cure for sagging or fainting faith is communion. Though always itself perfect and complete and inviolate, the Blessed Sacrament does not operate completely and once for all in any one of us." Translate that. The Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, it's perfect, it's complete, it's holy God, lacking nothing. But when I receive the Eucharist in a one-time instance, I don't receive all perfection. I don't become perfectly complete. I don't have it all together if I've just received communion once. He says, frequency is of highest effect. 7 times a week is more nourishing than 7 times at different longer intervals. And so he instructed his sons, go to communion, receive the body and blood of Jesus. This is the one love. This is the one thing in life worth giving everything to. Receive it often, 7 times a week if you can. And here you'll find romance. Here you'll find peace. Here you'll find the true way to all your loves on earth. This is how he mentored his sons, and I think it's a great example, especially to the men here on Father's Day. What's our legacy? What is it that I want to pass on generation after generation to my family? I want to pass on what's most important. And one of those most important things is our faith that comes to us here in the Blessed Sacrament. The body and blood of Jesus available to us, Jesus with us, for us, transforming us and taking us into eternity. This is what we want to do. Because if that dies with me, if that dies with you, what a tragedy. What a tragedy if the light of God's love isn't passed on from our church. If it doesn't go on like it has for 2,000 years, what a waste. Shame on us if we don't pass on these most important truths. This is why we want a revival. We want to stir maybe what's been lost and become lackluster in hearts. After the 11 o'clock Mass today, it's why we're going to process with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament around Matamidi, around our neighborhood, singing, incensing, letting people know this is the great love that we have in the Catholic Church. This is the one thing that draws us closer to Jesus. It's the one thing worth living for and worth dying for. So brothers and sisters, join me in this revival, that what we have received would not die with us. Let's make sure we pass it on.